Hi, everybody. Welcome to FNS Wrestling Podcast. I am your host, back with another Monday installment of my Ring of Honor review. I believe it is episode 519 from Ring of Honor. Showed up on my recording device on August 28th. Just got around to watching it today. Came down here, as I usually do on Monday evenings, to talk about it a little bit. There seems to be a few of you that are loyal ROH listeners of our podcast. I really appreciate that. So thanks if you're a returning listener. Welcome if you're a new listener. I'd love to hear some feedback from any of you. That's fnswrestling@gmail.com if you'd like, or fns_wrestling_podcast or on Instagram. Or if you're listening on YouTube, you can leave a comment there. I promise I will get back to you. I would appreciate any feedback or questions or even your thoughts and opinions on Ring of Honor, because I literally don't know anyone else that watches it. I'm not really a social media guy. My son, who does our Saturday podcast with me, he doesn't really watch it either at this point. Just he's not a fan of Empty Arena and just not enough time for ROH. There's so much wrestling going on, but I still carve out some time to watch it. It's a quick watch, I find, usually, and then I come down here and just sort of talk about what I just saw with you guys. So I'd love to hear from any of you if that is possible. And if you like what you hear on this podcast and you're not listening to our flagship show, that is on Saturdays. Usually comes out Saturdays, late afternoon or early evening. And that's my son and I. He is a 14-year-old wrestling-obsessed wrestling encyclopedia. So we look at NXT, AEW Dynamite, Impact Wrestling. We do some wrestling trivia. I try to see what he knows. It's a lot, I'll tell you right now. And we end every week where he talks about one of his passions, which is updates on new wrestling action figures coming out. So if any of that content interests you, please check us out. We're up to episode 59. That'll come out on Saturday. Believe it or not, it usually pushes 3 hours of my son and I just coming down and recording conversations that a lot of the times we just sort of used to have on our own. But now we sort of formalize it for you guys, record it, put it out there for anyone to enjoy if they can. So again, if you'd like to check that out, that would be appreciated. Well, I think that's enough of me rambling. I think we should probably get into talking some wrestling. So let's take a look at Ring of Honor, episode 519. So this episode starts with Ian Riccaboni back on the desk, still substituting for Quinn McKay, but he congratulates her on her efforts in this tournament, says he's really proud of her. And today we are moving on with the women's tournament, so it's the quarterfinals, couple quarterfinal matches today on the show. So tonight we're going to get Max the Impaler taking on Angelina Love in our first quarterfinal, and in the second one we'll see Allison Kay facing off against Trish Adora. And in the main event, we're going to get Eli Isom challenging Dragon Lee for the television title in a match that I was really looking forward to because I'm a big fan of Dragon Lee and I am a growing fan of Eli Isom. He continues to impress me, as I had never really heard of him, and he's not a super experienced guy, but he looks really good, so we'll see how that match turns out. We start out with an Angelina Love vignette where she sort of runs down her experience and some of her credentials and things, and she basically says she feels this tournament was made for her. And Maria likely thought that Quinn would be a challenge for her, but she wasn't. So Love dispatched of her even before the tournament to earn herself a first round bye. And apparently Angelina, she has worked with Max before. And Amy Rose felt that Angelina owed them a favor, but Angelina says she won't lay down in this tournament and give up her spot for anybody. She finishes up by telling us she's not to be messed with and her hand will be raised in victory. Angelina's very good on the mic. I mean, she's a veteran. She's always been pretty good. She did a good job here. The promo was pretty long, and maybe that's because Max and Amy didn't really get one, so maybe she got some of their time as well. And it did mention the brief alliance with Max, which I either wasn't aware of or had forgotten, so that was appreciated to know that little bit of backstory there. I thought she did some good work here. It didn't really build any interest in the match for me, but it was a well-delivered promo. I think she did a good job. So we do get Angelina Love versus Max the Impaler. And I do need to make an apology here to Max. Not that Max is listening to this, obviously, but just in case, and to anyone else that it might affect. The last time Max was in a match, I did not use the correct pronouns, the pronouns that Max prefers. So that, I apologize for that. I am going to try and do better. I was not aware. It was actually my 14-year-old son pointed out to me that I had used not the correct pronouns. So Max prefers they and them, which I'll do my best to do and honor that. If it slips, I will try and correct myself. It would never be intentional. So I will try and do better and get that right for this episode and any going forward. So I just wanted to include that. It was not intentional. My 14-year-old told me that. I looked it up. It's true. I even went back and listened to a bit of the match again. And in fact, Ian Riccaboni uses the correct pronouns, but Caprice Coleman sort of slipped into not using correct ones. So I'm going to do my very best to use the pronouns that Max would prefer. So Amy takes the mic before this match starts, asks Angelina if she really wants to do this. She says she warned Angelina, and then she basically tells Max, get her. So Angelina avoids a charging Max to start and escapes to the floor, and she's doing a really good job of sort of looking afraid of Max to begin here. Max follows her to the floor, throws Love into the barricade, and then Angelina, sort of in a panic, is holding on to the bottom rope. Max is sort of stretching her out by the ankles and eventually pulls her off the ropes, and Love lands face first on the floor. So Max accidentally then chops the ring post as Love ducks, and Angelina Love shoves Max into the post shoulder first. We end up back in the ring, and Love is striking Max, but it has no effect on the monster. So Max puts Love in a really nice looking torture rack, and I mean that's partly Angelina Love being flexible, so it looked really good here. Max then throws Love throat first across the top rope, and Love once again just has to escape to the floor to get away from this monster. Max follows her out there again, shoves Angelina Love shoulder first into the ring post. Max then applies a sleeper, but to explain it, she's in the ring applying the sleeper to Angelina Love, who's on the apron. So obviously the ropes are up against Angelina Love's back. So the ref's calling for a rope break, even gives Max 2 5 counts, but they don't release the hold, and Max is disqualified as Love falls to the floor and sort of lands awkwardly on her shoulder and is then selling her shoulder from that point on. So the match ends in a disqualification. To be honest, I would have loved to see Max win, as I find them fascinating, but this does make Max look like an uncontrollable monster, and that's pretty cool as well. Love did a really good job of selling her fear of Max, I thought, and her surprise when none of her strikes had any effect. And a heel picking up a win despite doing almost nothing, because she really didn't do much here, works well too for Angelina Love, I think. She can sort of talk about this match in sort of unrealistic terms later, right? That maybe she dominated Max or whatever. Max's pace is for sure really slow, and their offense is pretty basic, but it kind of works with the character that's being portrayed here. And I honestly think Max is one of the coolest talents on any roster that I didn't know very well up until recently. So I'm looking forward to seeing more of Max the Impaler. I'm hoping that they have a contract with ROH, because I would love to see more of Max the Impaler. So I was fine with this opener, despite it's kind of weird because there wasn't really a ton that happened. There was not a ton of exciting offense. It was kind of Max just slowly catching up and delivering some basic power offense or impactful offense, and then sort of moving on. And then basically just refusing to release the hold and losing by DQ. But somehow it worked for me, so I thought it was fine. And we then move on to the second match, which is Allison Kay versus Trish Adora. So Kay gets an inset promo as she's making her way to the ring. She says she's excited. It's clothesline versus clothesline. And at the end of the day, they all learn that AK don't play. So Chelsea Green, not Rachel, because I don't know why I have this block. I'm going to say Rachel Green probably 50% of the time. And I'm pretty sure I didn't even catch it in a podcast or two. So you've probably heard me say Rachel Green, and I apologize. I don't know what it is. I just can't. I got Friends on the Mind or something, which I don't even really watch, but it's stuck in there somewhere. So Chelsea Green joins commentary again. And I was hoping she would contribute something this time, because last time I didn't think she added anything. I kind of found I didn't really even notice that she was there. So Trish Adora then gets her chance to speak. She briefly says this is a tough matchup, but she has lariats to spare. She's technically sound, and with her community and her mother, she will go to the top. So neither promo was longer than a line or two. They were both delivered fine. I can't really offer much analysis on them. There really wasn't much there. They were just kind of standard promos that they both did a fine job of delivering. So that leads us to the match. So I've seen a lot of Allison Kay before. I just saw her on Empower, actually, NWA's Empower all-women show that I checked out the second half of that the other day. And I've always thought that she's solid, but not spectacular. I've never really been blown away. I've seen very little of Adora outside of her first round match, but I was pretty impressed with her. I think she has a really cool look. So both of these are sort of powerful women, similar size, and commentary are telling us this is technician versus technician match. So to start out, they're sort of feeling each other out a little bit. We've got some holds and counters, kind of showcasing the technical ability of both of them. Adora ends up with a head scissors, but Kay escapes, gets back to her feet for some more holds and counters until Kay counters a head scissor by dropping Adora to the mat and then applying an armbar. So we get a boot by Allison Kay. She puts Trish on her shoulders, dumps her over the ropes to the floor. I don't know if it was intentional or not. Even commentary said, I don't know if that was the initial plan. I think Chelsea Green said she wouldn't be surprised if it was. I'm not sure if it was intentional. It looked like it might have almost been accidental and just momentum carried her there and then she let go. But it doesn't really matter, I guess. We get a penalty kick by Kay as she's on the apron and Adora's on the floor. She's starting to gain her confidence. That's Kay. So she's taunting Adora a little bit. She performs a couple yes kicks to get a near fall. Then we get a face wash in the corner with the forearm by Allison Kay. She does some solid heel work. Like, you watch her and you definitely know who the heel is in the match, which I kind of appreciate. Kay then pie faces Adora, who finally fires up, lands some forearm shots, a cross body by Adora, a corner splash, and a backbreaker. Wasn't the cleanest looking backbreaker I've ever seen, but it wasn't bad. DDT by Adora, but then a German suplex by Allison Kay. We get an up kick by Adora to Kay's elbow. She attempts, but then Kay sort of fights back and attempts a Kimura. We get a rear naked choke by Allison Kay that looks like it might finish Adora, but she gets to the ropes. Head kick by Kay for two. Discus clothesline is missed by Kay, and Adora hits an enziguri. Then Adora escapes to finish this. It looks like Kay is picking her up for a powerbomb. Adora sort of slips out the back, bounces off the ropes, hits her running Lariat Tubman, which I think is an amazing name for her finisher. I don't know if she didn't hit her finisher last time or I didn't catch it, but it definitely made me laugh this time. I think that's a fantastic name. And she pins Allison Kay in what I think is sort of an upset. Again, I don't know much about Adora, but I do know that Allison Kay is generally a much more promoted and a much more prominent wrestler. So I think it's an upset. I could be wrong, but Trish Adora wins the match with the Lariat Tubman. So I thought the beginning of this match was slow. Lots of holds and counters, but not in a bad way. It worked because there was a lot of variety in the holds and counters, so I don't have a problem with it. And it fit within sort of the developed story of two evenly matched women and technicians sort of thing trying to gain an advantage. Sometimes the holds and counters bothers me. It just depends how well they do it and how long they do it for and whether they go back to it several times in the match or not. So I didn't mind it here. Kay then controlled the action for quite a while in the middle portion of this, middle to near the end. And I thought it was fine, but it was nothing exciting. It's kind of what I've always seen from Kay. She's very solid in the ring, but I don't ever get super excited watching her wrestle so far. Adora, I thought, looked pretty inexperienced. I don't know for sure. Some of her stuff wasn't super clean. But still, I thought it was a solid, not great match between two powerful technicians. Kay got to control most of it, but then the Lariat Tubman is sort of being built as this devastating finisher. So that's fine. I would like to see more of Trish Adora, and I obviously will as she does advance to the semifinals in this. Because for me, with her, the jury is still kind of out. I've seen some things I really like, but then I've seen some things that are okay or not quite as clean as I would like them to be. I mean, who am I to say? But that's kind of what I'm doing here, so I will say it. But I still think she has a really cool look, and she does do some things really well, so I'm excited to see a little bit more of her. We then transition into the main event of this show, which I was really looking forward to, and that's young Eli Isom taking on Dragon Lee for the Ring of Honor Television Championship. So this, I would say, puts my favorite established wrestler on this roster in Dragon Lee versus probably my like favorite up-and-coming, because I think Eli Isom's, when they showed the tail of the tape, I think he's only been wrestling since 2017. So if you consider in wrestling terms, A, that's not that long, and B, for 2 years there's been a pandemic where he probably hasn't wrestled a ton, or at least not as much as if it were sort of in the before times or the normal times. So not a lot of experience for him, but he looks really good, so I'm hoping that this match delivers as well. So Isom does get a promo package before this starts, and he says that for months His focus has been the World Television Championship. He has climbed the ranks and defeated every obstacle before him. He's now 3 seconds away from his goal, and he will fulfill the promise he made his sister, his father, and his mother as he gets choked up. Because if I remember correctly, there was something that went on with his mother. I don't want to say for sure because I could be wrong, but I definitely think there was an issue there. She may have even passed away, so he definitely gets intense. He even acknowledges sort of the tears in his eyes, and he gets really intense at the end and says that he will beat Dragon Lee and he will become TV champion. I thought this was a really good promo. I liked it. It was straightforward, but then it picked up an intensity and you really feel that it's real, this whole he promised his family things and he wants to follow through. Whether it's real or not, it feels real. And that's all I'm asking for from wrestlers is just make me believe it, right? Whether it's true or not, I don't care. I just want to believe it. I think there is some truth to what he was saying here, which makes it even more powerful, but I thought it was a good job. He seems to be getting better in this area of promos as well as in the ring. Dragon Lee then gets his chance to speak. He says very little. Basically, he knows Eli Isom, and he knows that Isom's a good wrestler, but the champion is back. He will defend what he never lost because the dragon has awakened. And my goodness, I could not pick up the word awakened. His voice sort of dropped off the soundtrack they were playing underneath, so I had to go back 3 times to clarify that that's what he said, because it was just, at some point it got personal and I just wanted to know what he said. I couldn't quite hear it, but I'm pretty sure he says the dragon has awakened. So his promo, Dragon Lee's, was really short, but fine. Nothing exciting, nothing special, just pretty generic, but it was fine. So Dalton Castle is joining commentary for this one, I think because he has a matchup coming with Eli Isom at the next pay-per-view they have. But ROH, I don't know, they seem to be obsessed with having wrestlers or other talent joining commentary. I'm not quite sure why. Very few of them add much, but Castle could because he's just really quirky and I enjoy the character he's sort of developed. I feel like he's, I don't know if any of you have seen it or I read the book and watched the movie, but he really feels like he's doing Johnny Depp in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, which is a fantastic movie and an even better book. I don't know if any of you have seen that movie. It's nothing current for sure. It's pretty old, but amazing film. And I feel like that's the inspiration for some of Castle's character, and I quite enjoy it. So right away, Castle's trying to take credit for Eli Isom's development. And then the only other thing I'll say about Dalton Castle that I thought was interesting was his commentary was focused on, like, it's not just enough to win, and it's not just enough to win championships. If you're not entertaining the fans and giving them something and being flashy and just going bigger and bigger, then is it really all worth it, right? And then of course he has the other commentary sort of saying, like, well, you're just, you know, championships are the thing and winning is the thing. And he's saying, yeah, winning's important, but I mean, it'd be a lot nicer if people were exciting to watch, right? Which I think is a kind of interesting angle to say, like, it's not just about wins and losses, because that's everybody else's story, right? Just, I just want to win however I need to win. And Dalton Castle's there going, no, make it look pretty, make it exciting. So I kind of like that from him. So this one starts really fast action as they're each sort of avoiding the other's offense. Lee ends up in his pose lying on the mat with his fist in the air, just like his brother Roosh does. So their standard pose just as sort of a taunt and, like, you know, he's not taking this too seriously to start. Isom then takes a shortcut. He kicks Lee as Lee is extending his hand. Commentary are surprised because up to this point, Eli Isom has been a straight up babyface. And I think commentary is trying to tell us Isom just knows that Dragon Lee is going to do it if he doesn't do it. So he's trying to beat Dragon Lee to the punch of taking this cheap shot. So he does. And it kind of gets him in control for a little bit. But then we get a Hurricane Rana by Dragon Lee, a huge diving senton to Isom on the floor. Then Lee runs Isom into the barricade and then the apron. Back in the ring, we get a half crab by Dragon Lee with his foot on Isom's head, just as a little insult to injury. It actually looked pretty cool. We get a boot and an arm drag by Isom. Lee sort of retreats to the floor, and then Isom gets to hit his own really big diving senton onto Dragon Lee on the floor. Back in the ring again, top rope crossbody by Isom, strike exchange, and Isom starting to yell at Dragon Lee now as he fires up a couple times in this match. They trade boots, I think it's 3 sets of boots, before Isom eats a drop kick from Dragon Lee, and both men are down momentarily here. We get a lightning fast corner attack by Dragon Lee that ends with a kick to the face of Isom. Isom then catches Lee out of midair, hits multiple German suplexes, uppercuts and an enziguri by Isom, But then a sudden Poison Rana by Dragon Lee, which I am a sucker for reverse Ranas, Poison Ranas, whatever you want to call them. They happen all the time, and I still like them. A couple of my favorite moves in here. I love a good Brain Buster, too. We get a Clothesline by Isom to counter the Detonation Kick of Dragon Lee. Snap German by Lee. Big Clothesline that flips Isom over as the pace is starting to pick up going into the final few minutes of this match. Backbreaker and a suplex lift, but converted into a neckbreaker by Isom. Isom is later front suplexed onto the ropes, sort of left hanging there. Dragon Lee goes up top, hits a drop kick to Isom, who's still suspended over the ropes. Then we get a running knee by Dragon Lee. The second one is caught by Isom, but Lee dodges some of Isom's offense and hits a knee to the back of Isom's head instead. We get a ripcord high knee by Dragon Lee, repeated kicks to Isom. Isom now fires up and hits the promise for a very near fall as Caprice Coleman is going insane and yelling far too loud, and the audio is clipping and it's pretty painful, but it was a pretty believable near fall, I must say. So Isom tries to hit another promise brainbuster right away, but obviously Dragon Lee escapes. He hits another ripcord high knee and then another knee directly to Isom's face. Some sort of, I didn't catch the name of it, but it ends in what's looking like a falcon arrow. It doesn't start out that way, but that's kind of how it finishes. I don't quite know what it was called. I didn't catch it. And then Dragon Lee does hit his nice looking incinerator kick, and he does in fact pin Eli Isom and retain the television championships in this match. The code of honor is adhered to. They shake hands and there's even a brief hug, as commentary point out how rare that is for Dragon Lee and pretty much anyone in LFI to show any sort of sportsmanship. So commentary went out of their way to point that out. So that can't be for no reason, I would expect, right? I have to say, I really enjoyed this match. It built as it went on. The final few minutes I thought were excellent because each man is just starting to pull out bigger and bigger moves at that point. Both of these guys looked really good, and the promise brainbuster that I think looks great got Isom a really believable near fall. Like, even for me, for a second, I was like, wow, really, are they doing this? But no, but still, it was a really believable near fall. Eli Isom, man, he continues to impress me. As I said, he hasn't been wrestling for very long. I think they've really found something in this guy, especially if he just keeps developing the way he is, both in ring and on the mic. They may have a major find here in this guy. I think he's really good, and I'm hoping I get to see more of him. And Dragon Lee, I mean, he's always amazing. He likely played some sort of role in Isom looking so good here, right? This is two guys kind of working together, as we know in wrestling. And Dragon Lee's fantastic, so I'm sure Eli Isom appreciates working with somebody like Dragon Lee as well. So the handshake and the show of respect at the end seem to be maybe a hint of a face turn or something for Dragon Lee, because again, commentary made sure to point it out. Maybe we'll finally have issues within LFI. I'm not sure, but either way, I do think this was a really good main event. I found it really entertaining, especially the final few minutes were really excellent. So I would recommend that match. So overall thoughts on this show now. I really like this show. The opener, it's weird because I'm going to describe the opener as kind of short and slow, but that was because Max is a monster and that is the style that they work. So it actually worked for me. I had no problem with it. I also had no problem with Max being DQ'd because they just won't release a hold, right, while their opponent's touching the rope. So I didn't have a problem with that. It makes Max look like a monster. It makes it look like Amy Rose barely has control. Although one thing I'll say is that Amy Rose was not put out by the fact that Max lost that match at all, which I thought was a little bit strange. I don't know. I would think that she would want Max to win, but she didn't seem to care at all. But anyways, so I think Max is kind of, like I said it before, a Kamala or a Umaga, right? You've got this monster that the manager can even barely control. So I think that's a cool thing to go with in wrestling. And Max is very believable in that role. So I quite enjoy Max the Impaler. The Allison Kay Trisha Dora match I thought was solid but not spectacular. And then the main event I thought was just a very strong TV title match and a really good television main event for Ring of Honor. It built really nicely as it went. And like I said, the final few minutes I thought were excellent. So I would recommend the main event of this show, especially if you don't know Eli Isom or you haven't seen much of him. I'm pretty impressed with him. I'd be interested to hear if any of you guys think the same. So let me know if you're impressed with Isom or what your thoughts are. Agree or disagree, I'd love to hear from you. So I would say overall grade for this show, it was very good. And if The middle match were a little bit better. I'd probably put it in the A range, but I gave it a B plus this week. I thought it was a very watchable show. The main event especially, I really liked. Always enjoy seeing Max the Impaler. And I think by ROH standards, this was a very entertaining show that sort of flew by. I mean, it's a 50 whatever minutes by the time you get rid of commercials. I know I say that all the time. It's a really quick watch. I'm just trying to get people to watch more ROH because I think it's pretty fun most of the time. I do have my complaints about Ring of Honor. If you're a regular listener, you know I complain sometimes that there's no build to anything because they just don't have time. You almost have to treat, especially their pay-per-views, I think I sort of put my finger on it finally, you have to treat their pay-per-views as like you're going to an indie show where you're just going to see pretty good match after good match and you're not going to get a lot of storyline. Like, you show up to an indie show, I don't know about you, but when I go to an indie show, I don't know who some of the characters are. I don't really know any of the backstory, and I'm just there to watch and be entertained. And I think that's sort of the perspective you should come at Ring of Honor, because they just simply don't have enough TV time to develop a lot of characters and develop a lot of storylines. But generally, the in-ring action is quite good. So I think that's kind of the way to approach this product. That being said, I think that's going to bring us to an end of this Ring of Honor review. And I thank, as always, any of you that take any time out of your week to listen to me sit down here and ramble about wrestling, or myself and my son, if you're someone that tunes in on Saturdays as well. We really do appreciate it. Again, this is just a hobby for us. We're not looking for sponsors or money or anything. The biggest thing we would like to see is just feedback from people. And a few of you I've seen have been giving us likes on the Ring of Honor episodes. I really do appreciate it, because honestly, there's not many people listening to this. Let's be real. We're not promoted. We're not anything. So we're not getting recommended to a lot of people, I don't think, on many sites. So if you're actually stumbled across this and you're listening to it, please let me know what you like and don't like. Because there's really just a small loyal following right now. You're kind of in on the ground floor of this experiment my son and I are undertaking. So we really do appreciate it. And that being said, you can definitely expect our regular show out on Saturday. We may even come with something else before then, so wherever you're listening to this, just keep your eyes peeled. But regardless, we'll be back here on Saturday. We hope to see you then, and until then, take care.